This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for that gift that you gave us on the cross, that you washed our sins away and that we are white as snow. And so we praise the one who paid our debts and raised our lives up from the dead. We praise you, Father. We praise you. And now be with us as we hear from Pastor Cowles. He's prepared this sermon for us. May you use the sermon that he has prepared to open our hearts and transform us. Use the preaching and teaching of God's words to open our hearts and prepare us today. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Andrew. Thank you, praise team. How many of you are glad to be in this place today? I see some of you in here that have just been through surgery, been through a touch of healing, and it's just great to have all of you here. And a lot of our folks are on vacation. I don't know where we'd put everybody if we all got here one Sunday. But I'm glad y'all are here today, and I'm so looking forward to what God's going to be doing the rest of this month. We're going to be in Psalm 85 this morning, and so as you're turning there, let me just kind of speak to your hearts for just a minute or two. We are in the second sermon of a series on revival, and if you were here last week, you remember that I was able to read Governor Bill Lee's proclamation, at least part of it, to the church. And out of God's grace, I got face to face and met Governor Lee this week. That's a God thing. And so I walked up to him, and I'd been asked to pray over this meeting. And so I get over there to this restaurant, and I walk in. The first person I see is Governor Bill Lee. And I walked up to him, and I said, "You don't know me from Adam, but I'm a local pastor here. And I read your proclamation, that resolution that you had signed Sunday in our church." And boy, this big grin came across his face. And he said, "How was it received?" And I said, "I don't know. I'll get back with you in several months and let you know how many of our folks are actually praying and fasting for revival." But I said, "What you may not know is that not coincidentally, our city is hosting 30 nights of revival in 30 different churches in the month of July." And he said, "Really?" And so I got to start. We got to talking about revival. Thank God for a politician who has a heart for the Lord Jesus. I don't care what party he's from. And so we got to talking about revival. And I want to tell you, our city is ripe for revival. Our state needs revival. And our country is desperate for revival. Now, you may think, "What is the pastor going on and on again about revival?" Well, I'm sorry. I got a bad case. I can't help it. We need King Jesus. We need the Lord to crown this city with glory and honor. Wouldn't it be great to see that happen this summer? Oh, to God that he might send a fresh move of his spirit upon his people. And God's not, as we said in the prayer room this morning, God is not waiting on Clarksville to get, he's waiting on the church. And when the church gets right, guess what happens then? The city starts getting right with God. I'll talk more about that here in just a few minutes, but we are ripe for revival. We desperately need revival. Now, how many of you celebrated the 4th somewhere? Half of you. What did the rest of you do? Probably like me, you laid on the couch all day. That's what I did July the 4th. But anyways, this is still the greatest nation on the planet. Amen? No wonder people want to come here. Everybody around the world, wherever I've ever been, folks want to come to America. They want to come to the United States. That's because God has blessed this nation. But I want to tell you, any measuring stick you want to use, we need God. I mean, this LGBTQ mess, this agenda is being thrown in our faces. Did y'all know that 70%+ of the men that live in our community are struggling with pornography? Boy, it always gets quiet when God starts speaking. Abortion is our national disgrace. Oh, yes, we've overthrown Roe versus Wade, but all that power has come back to the states now, and unborn children are still being slaughtered in their mama's wombs. God help us. Drug and alcohol addiction, fentanyl is killing many of our kids and our children and young people. Homes are still falling apart. Relationships have been fractured. Absentee husbands and fathers have let go of their spiritual reins of leadership in their homes. I mean, any measuring stick you want to use today, we are in need of revival, of a great move of God. And let me tell you something, church. This is I love us enough to just spout, just wrap my heart around the truth. Let me tell you something. It's time the church admitted that something's wrong. It's time that we admitted that something's wrong. We're to be change agents in the culture. We're to be salt and light. We're to be like thermostats setting the spiritual temperature in our communities. But that's not happening right now. Is anybody in agreement with me? And so we need revival. We are desperate for revival. Oh, that we, that the people of God might return to righteousness and holiness. I'll get to the scripture here in just a minute, I promise. The psalmist prayed a great prayer of revival in Psalm 85. The people of God had been in exile. They'd been in captivity in a foreign land in Babylon for 70 years. But God had moved upon the heart of the king. How many of you know that the king's heart is even in God's hands? And he had moved upon the king's heart to allow a remnant, a group of folks to come back up, Jewish exiles to come back home to Jerusalem. And as they get back home, I could just see in my mind's eye the psalmist standing above amid all this ruin and rubble in Jerusalem. And he lifts his hands and his heart to the Lord and he prays for revival. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Psalm 85. My devotional time this morning was in Isaiah. Y'all forgive me. Now, we're going to be in the whole chapter this morning, but I just want to read verses 4 through 7. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. Amen. Mike Rainey, ask God to bless the reading and the teaching and the preaching of his word, would you?
Father, we come to you this morning preparing to hear your word proclaimed. Pray for our pastor that you would empower him.
Yes, God.
To preach it with authority without reservation. Father, help us as a people to receive your word, not only receive it, but apply it in our lives beginning this very day. Father, bless again the reading of your word. Just in Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. And so we've got a prayer for revival. A prayer for revival. Now, the first thing that the psalmist recognizes is that the people need to give God praise for his forgiveness. Praise for his forgiveness. If you here's the sermon outline. You can make notes if you want to. If not, just park it all right up here and down here. Amen? Look at verse 1. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You see, the psalmist is giving praise for God's forgiveness. You have covered all their sin. Selah. Do you know what Selah means? There. What do you think about that? We're not real sure what the word means, but it's a musical term that means to be transposed in a higher key. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. And so the psalmist, now that this small remnant of Jewish exiles is back home in Jerusalem. They're back in the land. And he recognizes that anything is possible. There, God has offered two things, his forgiveness to his people, and he's willing to turn from his anger and his wrath. And so he begins to give God praise for his forgiveness and for the national forgiveness of Israel. Do you know how precious it is to receive the forgiveness of Almighty God for your sin? Have mercy. We sang about it this morning. We have a debt we cannot pay. But bless God, we have a Savior who paid that debt for us. And there ought to be great praise in here today for God's forgiveness. God has forgiven us of all our sin. I've told you all the most worn out verse in my Bible is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's give God praise for his forgiveness this morning. And now that God is offering forgiveness to his people and his wrath and his anger has turned, the people are back in the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And anything was possible. Anything was possible. As a matter of fact, the resurrection, the restoring of the land was possible. Isn't that amazing? How God kind of has his hand on things. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if we don't mess this thing up, God's going to revive this church. I said, if we don't mess this thing up, God's going to revive this church. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We're his chosen folks. By the way, you may not get this or understand this, but you've been elected by none other than God to be one of his children. Hallelujah. All our sins have been forgiven. And so as the psalmist stood up and began to pray for revival, he began to give God praise for his forgiveness and mercy. Hallelujah. God has been good, has he not? And then the psalmist moves quickly from praise for God's forgiveness to prayer for God's mercy. Now, this may seem kind of like a contradiction. He's been praising God for his forgiveness, and then all of a sudden, the psalmist asked for mercy. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought that God had forgiven them. Well, I think I've got an answer for that. You see there, he says, restore us, O God, verse 4 of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger? I thought God's anger had turned. Here's what I believe happened. As the psalmist was praying and asking God to send revival to his people, and he's asking and seeking for God's forgiveness, and thanking God for his forgiveness, this small group of Jewish people, when they were returning home after 70 years of captivity, don't you think there was joy in their spirit, that they had the glide in their stride, that they had the pep in their step, all those hundreds of miles back home, don't you think they were filled and overflowing with joy? But here's what happened. Once they got back to Jerusalem and they saw the massive undertaking that it would take to rebuild the temple, to restore worship, to hang the city gates, and to rebuild and repair the walls, when they saw that massive undertaking, and by the way, along with economic hardships and hostile neighbors and the laws of the land, their joy soon turned to gloom. Let me just state some truth to us right here. God will forgive us of any sin. He'll never hold them against you. You'll never have to pay for them. But there are consequences for sin. There are consequences for sin. And a lot of people think, well, just because I've been forgiven, there's no consequences. I'm scot-free. You're not scot-free. There's a price that has to be paid for sin. Jesus, thank God, took care of the debt. But we still have those consequences. And that's what's going on with the Jewish remnant here. And so Now, why did God punish them for 70 years? For three sins: idolatry, immorality, and injustice. Do you know what the people of God had been doing? They had been sacrificing their children down in the valley of Megiddo to the fire god Molech. On the high hills around Jerusalem, they built these sacred altars to foreign gods. And there was all kinds of orgies and sexual immorality that was going on in these places of worship. Injustice to the poor and the needy, the widows and the orphans were being taken advantage of. I want to tell you, those three things, you'll quickly get in trouble with our great God. Amen. And so he sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet to give them truth. And they kept turning from the truth and doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. Could there be any question about that's what's happening today? God's been trying to get our attention, y'all. Hello? When are we going to return? And then here, watch this. Don't miss this. In verse 6, he says, "Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation." The psalmist recognized one great truth in the middle of all this distress as they're looking around at all the rubble and ruin. God had turned to them with his forgiveness, and now they needed to turn to him with repentance. Can I just? We will never have revival until we're willing to repent. Amen. We need to repent of our national sin. We need to repent of our statewide sin. We need to repent of our citywide sin. And I could go through that whole list of stuff. I won't do that. You can pick any of them out yourself. But brothers and sisters, if we're not willing to repent, we will never get God's best. We'll never get God's revival. We'll never see God move in the way that he wants to move here. We've got to be willing to turn from our sin, to turn from our immorality, to turn from our selfishness and greed, to turn from, and by the way, another side, so many of our political and pastoral leaders are falling prey to sexual immorality and all kinds of mess, that's just a sign that our nation's in big trouble. We need for God to move, but he's not going to move until we call on him and cry out to him for repentance. This is not an easy message to preach because I love y'all. But if I really love us, I've got to speak the truth. And this is truth from God's word. Oh, listen. And so the psalmist is requesting revival. And he's praying for mercy. I've been in several prayer meetings this week, and in every prayer meeting I've been, I've heard people repenting of their sin. Not just their personal sin, but our citywide sins, our statewide sins, our national sins. And by the way, if I'm an American and I am, then I'm a part of what's going on here. And so we're one. And when we pray, we ask God to forgive us as one. National revival could come. Statewide revival could come. Citywide revival. Countywide revival could come if we're willing to get on our faces. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the recipe for revival. If my people, who is my people? Who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. There's that repentance stuff. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin and heal their land. There it is, a request for revival, praise for God's forgiveness, and prayer for God's mercy. I've always promised y'all I'll never leave you bleeding. And so we're going to bind up our wounds and we're going to look at the reply for revival. Are you ready for this? Ooh, this is good stuff, y'all. If you've got a Bible, look at verse 8. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people and to His saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
That's what happened with us after 9/11. We got spiritual for a little while as a nation, and then we returned to our folly. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. And so the psalmist, in this reply of revival, begins to understand that the nearness of revival is just around the corner. He knows that revival is very, very near. And salvation for His nation is very, very near. I don't know if y'all have ever read in Ezekiel before, but just a few years before this, Ezekiel saw the Shekinah glory of God depart from the temple. He saw the glory of God rise from the cherubim and then out the threshold of the temple and then down the slopes and the streets of Jerusalem. And he saw the glory depart out of the eastern gate. And then he saw the glory depart over the Mount of Olives. And for 400 years, the glory of God was gone from the earth. For 400 years, God was silent. There was no revival. But listen to this prayer by Ezekiel. Man, I love this. Woo! Listen to this. Ezekiel 34:26 says, I will make them and the places all around my hill, talking about Jerusalem, a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. I want to tell you, I believe revival is near, brothers and sisters. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. I believe God is doing a work here amongst us. I've never seen Clarksville's pastors coming together like we are right now. Well, many of us are coming together and supporting each other and praying for one another and working together and serving together. I've never seen that before. Churches are coming together of all different flavors. I was in a church the other night. The Raineys were with us. Loretta was with us. And I didn't agree with everything that was done there, but I want to tell you what they did. They lifted up Jesus. And that's what we can celebrate. If a pastor or a church in Clarksville or Montgomery County is making much of Jesus, I'm all in. I don't care about all that. I care. But some of these minor doctrinal issues, we need to let go of them because we can do more together than we can apart. Hallelujah. There's one church family in Clarksville. Y'all know that, don't you? Brother Cal, it's Baptist. No, it's not. God's not Baptist. God ain't even Southern Baptist. Ooh, if I didn't make somebody mad, somebody's tore up already. Hallelujah. Revival is near. Revival is very near. I've been a part of a semi-revival when God really tore the place up down in Waynesboro, and it came through prayer. It came through prayer. That's what brings it in. The prayers of God's people. And so revival is very near. But watch this. The psalmist also describes in this reply for revival, not only that about the nearness of it, but the nature of revival. And this is plumb. And by the way, did you see that word glory up there in verse 9? You didn't see it then, but you see it now, right? The glory may dwell in our land. The one word I believe in your Bible that best describes God is the word glory.
Amen.
The Shekinah glory of God.
Hallelujah.
The brightness, the holiness, the justice, the Shekinah glory of God, that it might dwell. Wouldn't it be awesome to see the glory of God fall in your home? Wouldn't it be awesome to see the glory of God fill your children and your grandchildren? Wouldn't it be awesome to see the glory of God in your neighborhood and in your schools? Wouldn't it be great to see God show up in all of His glory and power in the government halls? It could happen. But do we believe it enough to bring it in? The nature of revival. Y'all, I could keep us here all afternoon. Just pray for me. Verse 10, mercy and truth have met together. I said mercy and truth have met together. Amen. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Isn't this beautiful language? Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before Him and shall make His footsteps our pathway. He's talking here about the true nature of revival, what revival looks like when it truly comes. And he says that mercy and truth have met together. Y'all, when you look at mercy and truth, those are two mutually exclusive terms. Mercy doesn't have a whole lot to do with truth. Because you see, God's mercy says, pardon the sinner. God's truth says, punish the sinner. God's mercy says, God is love. And God's truth says, God is judge. Mercy and truth met together. Do you know where that happened? At the cross. Where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am what? Happy all the day. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. If you have the glory of God deep down in your soul and you are filled by the Spirit of Almighty God and you've got a bad case of I can't help it and you just want to give God praise wherever you're at, in front of lost folks, in front of saved folks, and you want to share the love of Jesus, you've got revival. He says, righteousness and peace have kissed. That took place at the cross. Jesus took the hand of an outraged heaven and a holy God and the hand of rebellious sinners and brought them together. And mercy met truth. Hallelujah. And then he begins to talk here about the reign and rule of God on the earth during the millennial reign. There'll be righteousness. It'll be restored. There'll be justice. It's going to be a wonderful time. And we're going to reign and rule with Him for 1,000 years right here. Mike McCourty, you may be the boss down there at CDE during those days. Who's going to be the mayor? It doesn't matter, because Jesus is going to reign and rule. But until then, the psalmist is praying that Christ, well, in this context, that God would reign and rule in our hearts. Can I ask you a real serious question? Does God have first priority in your life? Amen. Is He numero uno in your life? Is He the first thing you think of when you get out of bed? Is He the last thing you think of when you go to bed? Do you want to see Holy Ghost happenings in your home? Do you want to see your children and grandchildren love Jesus with all their heart? How about those two little grandbabies? I know that's what y'all's prayer is. My mama prayed for years for all 14 grandchildren. And as far as I know, every one of them have proclaimed Christ as their Lord and Savior. Wouldn't you love to see the glory fall? Wouldn't you like to see the church just explode?
Yes, amen.
Wouldn't you like to see our baptism numbers go through the roof? So much so that we had to drag our tails down to the river and baptize folks. Because we couldn't get them all in this. What would you like to see God do? More importantly, what's He doing in you? You see, before, the way revival starts is with one person at a time.
Amen.
And I stand before your pastor and tell you I'm praying and fasting for revival in my life. My wife can tell you I am nowhere near perfect. But the desire of my heart is to follow Jesus. I've hitched my wagon to Him. And He's been so patient with me. He's been so good to me. I can't tell you. I could go on all afternoon about the goodness of God. And that's what I want for all of us. I'm having trouble landing this plane, as you can tell this morning. But true revival is what we need, Second Mile Church.
Amen.
And it ain't going to happen by doing things as usual. Because when revival comes, everything turns upside down.
Amen.
For the better. For the better. Andrew, you come. Everybody bow your head. In honor and admiration of who the Lord is. And let's pray together. Would you right there in your seat ask God what He wants to say to you? Just ask Him, say, speak, Lord, to my heart about anything You want to say to me. Speak now. And then ask the Lord to give you the courage and the common sense to obey what it is He's telling you to do. Would you do that right now? We're talking about rock rib conviction, not emotionalism. We're talking about sure, hardcore decisions right now. Judgment begins in the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Father, help us to turn from our sin. Oh God, I ask forgiveness for our apathy, our unconcern, our prayerlessness, our selfishness, our greed, our jealousy. Oh God, cleanse our hearts this morning. We turn from anything, God, that's displeasing in Your sight. We know we need You. We know that without You, we are nothing. But Father, with You, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, Lord, as we open up this altar of revival, I pray, God, that we might fill it with the tears of the saints. That people might come to a saving knowledge of who Jesus really is and wants to be in their lives. Oh God, revive me in all its fullness. Do unto me what You want to do. Because, Father, Your best is far better than my good. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of Jesus we pray. Please stand quietly to your feet. The most important time of this service is right now. What's God telling you? What's He saying to you? How do you need to respond? The altar's open. Father, may this be a season in our lives like we've never seen before. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. In Jesus' great big name we pray. Amen. Lead us, Andrew. You come. Altar's open, even now.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.